to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. Into chapter 4, we'll be looking at verses 1 through 13. 1 Corinthians 4, 1 through 13. So then, men ought to regard us as servants of Christ and as those entrusted with the secret things of God. Now, it is required that those who have been given a trust must prove faithful. I care very little if I am judged by you or by any human court. Indeed, I do not even judge myself. My conscience is clear, but that does not make me innocent. It is the Lord who judges me. Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's hearts. At that time, each will receive his praise from God. Now, brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit, so that you may learn from us the meaning of the saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. For who makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you did not receive? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? Already you have all you want. Already you have become rich. You have become kings, and that without us. How I wish that you really had become kings, so that we might be kings with you. For it seems to me that God has put us apostles on display at the end of the procession, like men condemned to die in the arena. We have been made a spectacle to the whole universe, to angels as well as to men. We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are honored, we are dishonored. To this very hour, we go hungry and thirsty. We are in rags. We are brutally treated. We are homeless. We work hard with our own hands. When we are cursed, we bless. When we are persecuted, we endure it. When we are slandered, we answer kindly. Up to this moment, we have become the scum of the earth, the refuse of the world. My question for you this morning is, what does it mean then to serve Christ faithfully? As Paul is laying out the problems that this Corinthian church is having, their divisions, their skirmishes, their fighting, Paul is seeking to focus it in, to really dial down to the issues and really get to the point of things. And that question of faithfulness is a key point to him. How does one live their lives in service to Christ in a faithful manner? These Corinthians were struggling with divisions, pride, rooted in a misunderstanding of leadership and spiritual identity. And so I see today, we see this passage, I think, challenges us to view ourselves and others through the lens of God's calling, not human standards. So that's what we want to see today. First thing we want to notice, I think, is in verses 1 and 2, we see the identity of God's servants. What is the identity of a servant of God? Well, Paul emphasizes right first that leaders are servants. So the identity of God's servant is a servant of Christ. The word servant is one that emphasizes, implies humble, subordinate roles. We're talking about the lowest of the low. The pot scrubbers, the toilet cleaners, those who are supposed to be unnoticed and just do their jobs. It's a humbling spot. And that is what Paul is trying to tell us, is a follower of Christ, a servant in this way. Now, we see Jesus is our example in this. Throughout Scripture, we see over and over and over again that picture of Jesus, the suffering servant. Paul speaks of this in Philippians chapter 2, right? In verse 5 through 8, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. That is who Jesus was for us. Jesus in Mark chapter 10 tells us this, and at verse 42 he said, now he'd just been talking to James and John. James and John had just done the audacious ask of being in his right and left hand, and Jesus kind of put that down right away. And he said this then in verse 42. Jesus called them together, disciples, and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." That is the nature of being a Christian, to be servants of Christ. We're not called to promote ourselves or serve. We're not called to promote ourselves, but to serve under this authority of Jesus. We see so many ministries and organizations that are built upon promoting a particular person, a particular personality. On the books they have written there, eloquence, and these ministries we see over and over and over again go down because of that person. We want to see they're built things on worldly standards of success. And it's a temptation. You know, I remember going through my seminary and just the class I took about like church growth and leadership and those kind of things. And looking back at it now, and you know, this is the early 2000s, and it was kind of a big kind of a movement then in developing of leaders and leadership and church growth. And it was very a worldly model, now I look at it in some ways. You know, it was really based on what do you do to really get them in, and you know, how to be really out there and promote yourself. Promote yourself in a way that'll draw people in, and you know, and there's good intentions there. I'm not saying that at all, but it is a worldly perspective. And not what really God calls us to. He calls us to be slaves and servants. In that identity, then, as servants of Christ, we are also then stewards. Stewards of, we call us God's mysteries. I was so happy this morning. The Colossians reading lined up so well with today. Paul said, you know, I'm a servant, and I'm called to give you these mysteries, which is Jesus. That's what it's about. It's about Jesus, of sharing and knowing him. We are stewards of this gospel and responsible to proclaim it faithfully. So the question I think here is that, are we managing God's truth with care and diligence in our daily lives? How do we daily, then, identifying as servant, how do we steward this gift of the gospel of Jesus to others? Well, there's several ways. I think much of it comes in just setting an example in our lives of service and humility. Let people know maybe why you are like you are. People will ask. You will see. If you are humble and helpful all the time and not complain, that kind of things, people will wonder. And they can know that there's a reason behind that. It's part of having a good reputation in your community with people around you, your school, your work. It's all part of our identity as servants. And then a third part of that identity is faithfulness is the standard. Faithfulness is the standard. It is the measure of our success. It's not numbers. It's not size. It's faithfulness. In verse 2, requires students that they be found faithful. Success in ministry life is measured by faithfulness, not worldly achievement. Now, yes, we want to see growth. We want to strive to see others come to Jesus. We desire that with all our hearts. I hope we want that. But we will, in the end, show to Jesus, not our numbers of converts, you know, nicks on our belt of those who have come to Christ. It won't be the books we have written, the size of our ministries, how well known we are, how famous we are. Jesus will be looking for in that day is our faithfulness, the faithfulness to what God has given us in resources and opportunity. Now, some of those things may very well grow or expand, become famous, those kind of things, but it comes down to the attitude of the heart of a servant. And the glory goes to God in all these things. That is the identity. The identity of God's servants. Now, secondly, in this passage, I think we see that there is the idea of judgment for God's servants in 3 through 5. The Corinthians we see here are judging Paul. They're passing judgment on him, comparing him to others, apostles, Peter, whoever. But we see here, first off, that human judgment is limited. It is very limited. Paul disregards their judgment. Just puts it away out of hand. In fact, he said he even puts aside his own judgment of himself. Now, we, of course, do need to examine ourselves by the Holy Spirit to search our hearts, to root out those things of sin and struggle in our lives. But in the end, whose approval are you seeking? Are you confessing just so that you feel better about yourself? Are you seeking the approval of those around you? Do you want to look good for others? Do you want to make sure that you don't seem weird or odd? And that kind of judgment, again, human judgment is so limited. In fact, we see then also then that God then is the ultimate judge. He is, because he's God. He examines our hearts. He knows who we are. Deep down inside our very motivations and desires. And so Paul, knowing that, said, I can care less what you think of me. I can care less about what I think of me. What's important is God, my integrity, knowing that God sees me and will reward those who are faithful. Not what happens, not the numbers, not the successes, but the faithfulness to the end. And so then we wait. That's Paul's word to us. Wait. You want to judge? You want those things? No. Wait. God will bring it all in the end. When he returns, he said he will bring everything to light and commend his faithful servants. So as we do examine ourselves, are we selfish in our motives? Do we judge others? Or do we seek to be simple, faithful servants to the service of Christ? That is what it comes down to. And Paul is trying to get these Corinthians to understand this idea. They're so caught up in, again, we've seen over and over there, this worldly Gentile model of what success is, of being eloquent and big and popular. And thirdly, we see here then, coming from that danger, the real danger of pride and division in verses 6 and 7. Paul warns the Corinthians not to be puffed up by comparing leaders. Not to say, like they were doing, well, I follow Apollos, he's better. Well, we go with Peter because he's the rock. Oh, we still like Paul. We side with Paul. He's the guy who brought it here. And Paul's saying, don't do that. That's pride. That is very base. It's pride and causes divisions. He tells them that everything we have, everything, and we have everything, our gifts, our knowledge, our abilities, whatever successes we have or don't have, it's all from God. And we have to understand that, as Paul wants us to know. Don't take pride in these things. He says, what do you have that you didn't receive? I mean, right? It makes sense. If you have something, it means you got it somehow. And somehow these Corinthians were disregarding that part. And what they have, they're saying, well, I got it. It's mine. I was worthy. I was good enough for it. And Paul says, no. It's a gift. It's grace. We see that in these verses of recognizing God's grace. He says, boast as if you did not. He says, boast as you did not. We have to acknowledge God Acknowledge Him as the source of all blessing, avoiding pride or boasting. Simple as that. And we can do that in so many ways. Just in little things. You say, oh, you know, you did a great job with this. You say, oh, the Lord helps me. The Lord is good. We can do little things like that, just even in our own hearts, to acknowledge that God has helped us. And He's the giver of all good things. Now, all this, Paul reminds them as a fourth point in this section 1 through 13, that there's a cost. There's a cost to this apostolic ministry. Now, of course, Paul is kind of addressing particularly leaders and those kind of things, but it does trickle down to us as individuals in a church and to churches. And he says first off that he doesn't want them to have a sense of false security. And he says in verse 8, you already have what you want. You already have become rich. You've become kings. You're living as if you've got it all already. In some ways you do, but it's very prideful. It's like, I've arrived. I have this. Look at me. Look at all I have. Look at the knowledge I have. This great mystery that I have and you don't. And divides me and you. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. He warns them of this false security they have. This is a spiritual pride. A pride that they have something that others don't, and we are better. We are more blessed. We are more aware of Christ in these things. And in opposition to that, Paul offers up the apostle's example, which is a sacrificial example. He contrasts their self-satisfaction, their feeling that they've arrived, with the actual reality of the apostles and their suffering. He goes on to great length to show them, to explain to them that they're like those who are condemned to die. They are at the end of the procession. Imagine that. That's that servant attitude, right? They're the ones that fall along the back of the great procession and are nobodies. Clean up as they go along. They endured hunger, thirst, persecution, ridicule. And in fact, in that sacrificial attitude, they're considered fools. But they embraced it. They said, fine, I'm a fool. Great. I probably am. It was a humble position. But the whole point of it was so that the glory did not go to them, but went to Christ. It went to Jesus. And so we are forced to ask, I think, here, are we willing to endure hardship and suffering for the sake of the gospel? Are we willing to be considered fools? Are we willing to be taunted or made fun of in our jobs, in our homes even, in our schools? To be labeled weird? To be labeled odd? Are you willing to endure that for the sake of Christ? Because in many ways, this message is foolishness. It is opposite to what the world has for us. That's why it gets twisted so often. That's why it's so often presented in a way that says, oh, no, 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 no. Come to Christ and you'll be blessed. Come to Christ and you'll be rich. Come to Christ and all will be well. Come to Christ and you'll be healed of everything. It's just in your faith. Paul's saying that's foolishness. That's real foolishness. So are we willing then to take that step of suffering alongside the Lord? So, to go back to my original question, how does one live as faithful in this world today? How do we live as faithful stewards of Jesus Christ in the world? First, I believe, embrace servanthood. Embrace servanthood. Make it part of just who you are. In every way, every possible position, every circumstance, have the attitude of service. And we can do that in so many ways. Just in our homes. Children, just saying, yes, I'll do the dishes, or I'll help, I'll do this, without even being asked, without complaining. We can do it in our workplaces, of doing things that maybe aren't our job, but just to help somebody out. of saying yes. Saying yes when someone asks you things. Being willing to help in all things. We see it in a desire then to pursue faithfulness over applause. To be known as simply as faithful. Maybe not the most eloquent, maybe not the biggest. We want to be faithful. And people will see that and know that in our lives. We focus on being faithful to God, regardless of human opinions or recognition or anything. And thirdly, in this, reflect Christ in all circumstances. So Paul talks about often. He says, I've learned to be content if I have much or little, if I'm in pain or I'm not, if I'm happy or if I'm sad. We live it all of our lives. Everything we do, everything we put out there, everything everybody sees is a witness to Christ. That's a big burden in some ways. But we are empowered by God's Spirit to do it. We are encouraged by each other to do it and to go on and pursue it faithfully. We are witnesses to Christ's power and His grace in all things. That's what Paul's trying to get to these folks. He says, just think less of yourselves. Get off your high horse. Look to Jesus, as we've seen from the beginning. Look to Christ. I talk about Christ, the Christ crucified. And let that be your example. So we've seen today, then, just to recap, what it is to be a servant of Christ. We've seen there is a judgment of God's servants, not by us or even myself with myself, but in God, ultimately. There's a great danger in pride and divisions that they are showing. We see also that there is a cost. There is a cost to following Christ. And are we willing to pay that price? And then we talk now then of living as faithful stewards and servants today. Faithfulness to Christ requires humility, endurance, and a focus on eternal rewards. That is what we are concerned of. We're not concerned with all the things, you know, that this world has, all the measures of success that the world would have us, all of the ways that make you cool or successful in our internet age of being an influencer. It's humility and endurance. Will you live as a faithful steward and a fool for Christ's sake? That is the question Paul is getting to here. Are you willing to suffer? Are you willing to be mocked? Are you willing for people to think you're nothing? And if you think of it, if that is how people perceive you, that's right where God wants you to be. That's exactly the place to be. Because we can trust in Him and lean on Him for all these things. It's hard. As I was thinking about this week, and just in my own life, you know, I think of in my job. You know, I would love for them to think highly of me in worldly ways, as successful, as competent. And of course, I should be. I was really challenged in how do I communicate these sorts of things of humility and following Christ and not try to elevate myself in worldly ways. We want to be faithful. That is what we're going to hear at the end. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Not my good and successful servant. Not my good and famous servant. Good and faithful. So let's seek that in our walk with Christ today. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would allow us the grace to serve Jesus faithfully. Lord, give us the grace to seek
His approval alone in all the things that we do. Help us by your grace to endure whatever hardships, problems that we may face. Help us to do it with joy. Let people know that that is where the joy really is in you. For the glory of your name we pray. Amen.